Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 26 and 27. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. May he open up our minds to understand your word. May he challenge our wills to obey your word. And may we find delight in living our lives in alignment to the will of God. So, Father, help us to understand your word and give us strength as we preach it. May you be glorified in all that we do and say now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are here this morning and you can confess before God that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that by grace through faith he forgave your sins and gave you the free gift of eternal life, let me tell you one other thing that you should know. Because of God the Holy Spirit, your life is absolutely different from what it would have been if Jesus had not saved you. Let me say that again. Because of God the Holy Spirit, your life is absolutely different from what it would have been had Jesus not saved you. There are horrible mistakes you would have made that God the Holy Spirit protected you from. There are people you never would have met unless the Holy Spirit prompted you to talk to them. There are wonderful events in your life that you declared, "What a coincidence," that were the workings of the Holy Spirit on your behalf. And there are joys you would not have known had not the Holy Spirit brought them your way. Because of God the Spirit, your life is absolutely different from what it would have been had Jesus not saved you. Much of that is related to the subject we're studying in January, prayer. This morning, prayer and the role of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, no, we having issues here somewhere? Okay. All right. Does it sound as funny to you as it sounds to me? Yeah, sounds like I got 12 frogs in my throat. All right. We'll work our way through it the best we can. Let's begin with the outline. Number one, the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. Four times in verses 26 and 27, the Spirit is mentioned. When it says the Spirit, it's referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus always referred to the Holy Spirit as he and him. And the Holy Spirit is God. When Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he reminded us that the God of the Scriptures is a Trinitarian God. He commanded us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So, the Holy Spirit is very God, and he is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Son. In fact, the Holy Spirit's kind of like a helper when you're having issues and you need him and he comes running down the aisle. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds better already, Noah. What'd you do? Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, my first thought here is that's going to be interesting to the people who are watching online. What just happened in that church? All right. Let me back up just a bit here, okay? The Holy Spirit's a person. The Holy Spirit's God. We have a Trinitarian God, and when we baptize people, the formula is that we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very God and is co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. In fact, in the very second verse of the entire Bible, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit, very active in creation. Jesus taught us a lot about the Holy Spirit. In fact, he taught us more than anybody else did. And he told us in John 14, 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Now, there's a momentous truth there that Jesus mentions in the very last phrase. For believers, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, is continuously with us, but even better than that, he is in us. Don't ask me to explain how it works. Just know that it does. Every believer saved by grace, every follower of Jesus around the world, regardless of nation, tribe, race, or language, is indwelt with one and the same Holy Spirit, all the time surrounded by people who are not. That's who we're talking about in Romans chapter 8, God the Spirit. It's important to note that it's only an incredible truth for believers. Turn back with me to same chapter, chapter 8. Look all the way back to verse 9. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Three times in those verses, the Spirit dwells in you, but only for those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. You and I live in a world today, a culture today, that wrestles with identity. They have a hard time figuring out who they are. Well, let me give you a marvelous answer if someone asks you, "Who are you?" Here's what you're to tell them. Here you go. "I'm a new creature, saved and forgiven by God the Son, adopted and made an heir by God the Father, and indwelt forever by God the Spirit." Now, if you can remember all that and you say it to someone, they're going to look at you and say, "Huh?" And then you can share the good news of Jesus Christ. "I'm a new creature, saved and forgiven by God the Son, adopted and made an heir by God the Father, and indwelt forever by God the Spirit. That's who I am. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that's who you are. John the Apostle wrote in 1 John 4:4, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Who's John talking about? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's who we're talking about this morning. Number two, the problem that prompts his prayer. The problem that prompts his prayer. Verse 26 says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness." Now, the word weakness there is a very general word that is used in many different ways in the scriptures. It can be weakness due to illness or disability, physical weakness. Could be weakness because of the inability to understand, cognitive weakness. Can be weakness due to sinfulness, spiritual weakness. Can be weakness due to exhaustion or hopelessness, emotional weakness. None of that is news to us. We've all, at different times, experienced weakness. Result of the human condition. We're finite. We're temporary. We're not going to be here forever. And our sinfulness only compounds all of that. A very sobering truth to me and to you. No one, even myself, knows my weaknesses more than God the Spirit does, who indwells me. There's absolutely nothing in me that is hidden from him. The God who knit me together in my mother's womb now lives in me. Let that sink in. He knew what I was like when I was one cell. He knows what I was like when I'm too many cells. But he knows every weakness. Now, what is it about our weakness then? Our weakness gets in the way of effective prayer. Our weakness interrupts my fellowship and communication with a holy, almighty God. Frustration, anxiety, anger, interrupted joy, interrupted peace, sin, lust, greed, long list of things that make me weak and stop me from praying or praying with my mind. We may need help, but we're too absorbed with the problem and we fail to pray. We may need correction, and at the moment we're too wayward to know it. We may need comfort, but we're wallowing in pity and grief. We may need strength, but we're too tired to pray. You get the picture? So, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What a wonderful and sobering at the same time. He knows everything that is happening in my life. He knows everything that's going on in my life. He's aware of all that I'm going through. And so the Spirit comes to help me. Well, that brings us to number three, the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Again, go back to our text, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Now, I don't want to presume that everyone knows the word intercede, or the noun that comes from it, intercession. Generally, that's not a word that we use very often, most often in the church. The dictionary defined it this way: to intervene on behalf of another, or to intervene between parties with a view of reconciling differences. Today, an intercessor might be called a mediator, a go-between, in the business world, an arbitrator. When it comes to believers praying for other believers, intercession means praying on behalf of someone else, acting as a mediator or advocate to plead their case with God, seeking his help, healing, or guidance for them. In other words, intercession is between you and me is when we pray for each other. Intercession is when I'm not praying for me, I'm praying for you. Intercession for you is when you're not praying for you, you're praying for me, and so on. What is amazing to us this morning is that God, the Holy Spirit, intercedes. He's an advocate in prayer for us before the Father. Grasp this wonderful truth. The Holy Spirit, very God, who indwells you, prays for you. You know, I love it when believers say to me, "Pastor Dave, I prayed for you this week." That means a ton. But more, how awesome is it that the Bible tells me, "Pastor Dave, the Holy Spirit prayed for you this week"? That's unbelievable. Unbelievable, but true. Wonderful. Verse 26 says, "The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Now, the word groaning could lead us astray if we think too much of why you and me groan. It's not that kind of groaning. In other words, when I've been sitting for 2 hours in the recliner and I get up, I am prone to make funny sounds. Or if I'm on the floor playing with the grandkids and someone says, "Let's get up and do this," it doesn't happen the same way that it used to. Okay? But that's not the idea here. It's not groaning out of discomfort or physical pain. Think instead of a deep, passionate, audible yearning from the soul. The best way I could illustrate that for you is if someone comes up to you and has to share with you some really bad news that they know is going to affect you very much, and you just let out a groan from deep within your soul. You've probably had that happen at one time or another in your life. The Holy Spirit, and don't forget the word holy when we talk about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is confronted by our human weakness, and it says he groans inwardly. He yearns, perhaps longing for the day when all of this will be over and he will not have to groan for me ever again. But right now, I'm weak. And groaning without words is immediately understood and responded to by God the Father. Now understand something. This is important when we talk about the Trinity. The members of the Trinity never have to ask each other, "What did you mean by that?" Never, right? You understand that? We talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but it's one God. And the moment the Spirit groans for us, our Father knows it and hears it and knows what it is all about. Immediate, complete understanding and response every time. And I often shudder to think how often that might happen. The Bible tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we do, I wonder if he groans. The Bible teaches us that we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can say, "No, I'm not going to do. I'm not going to obey." The Bible tells us we can quench the Holy Spirit. And yet, in spite of all that, he prays for me. He prays for us. Now listen very carefully. This is not theological theory, all right? This is reality for born-again believers, sinners forgiven and saved forever through the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who continually prays for you. Number four, the purpose of the Holy Spirit's prayer. The purpose of the Holy Spirit's prayer. Verse 27. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind and the spirit, mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now that last phrase is very important. The Holy Spirit always intercedes for us, prays for us, and by the way, you're included in that word, the saints. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that's you. You might not consider you a saint, consider yourself a saint, but from the Bible perspective, you are. We're growing saints, growing each day. But he prays for us according to God's will. The Holy Spirit intercedes in prayer for me, and his prayer is always 100% in line with God's will for me and for the kingdom. Never apart from that, ever. Now, what does that mean by that? What does it mean that he prays for me in line with the will of God? Well, first, it means that the Holy Spirit is not a pinch hitter for me when I'm not getting what I'm asking for. All right? I want that to be plain. I'm asking God for a Corvette, and when it doesn't show up in my garage, the Holy Spirit takes up my request for a Corvette for Dave. No, he doesn't. I'm asking God for $1 million, and so far I only have $100 in my checkbook, so the Holy Spirit goes to bat for me. No, that's not it. The Holy Spirit is not a pinch hitter to come in when I don't see an answer to my prayer to convince the Father that David, after all, was right. No. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all know God's perfect will for me and for you. And every single prayer of the Holy Spirit on your behalf is in line with just that. And in those moments when we are bluntly and transparently honest before God, often on our knees, we recognize that that is best for us. God's best for you is to find yourself in the middle of his will for you. You know, when God the Son, Jesus Christ, faced the horror of being made sin for us and facing the wrath of his Father poured out upon him, he still prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Now, let me share with you. God's will for me and God's will for you is that every day we are constantly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? That's a very wordy statement. It means that every day I'm more and more like Jesus in what I do, in what I say, and how I think. That every single day I'm a little more like Jesus than I was the day before or the week before. Every day I am growing in my faith. It means that every day the character of Jesus Christ is being cultivated in me. And by the way, that's another task of the Holy Spirit in you and in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, you know, we call that the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus Christ being cultivated in me by the Holy Spirit every day. In other words, when you study the fruit of the Spirit, you're studying what it is like for me to grow in those things to become more and more like my Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Every day. Every day. He's working in Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave, you flunked patience yesterday. Let's work on it all over again. Yeah, I've been in remedial class for a long time. But you understand what God is doing there. He says, I want you to be more and more like my son. The Spirit who indwells you is going to make sure of that. And when our weakness gets in the way, he intercedes that God's will be done in me and in you. Number five, the partnership joining the Holy Spirit. The partnership joining the Holy Spirit. This is where it gets even more exciting for you and me. The Bible just keeps ramping it up a notch. The main purpose of our message today is to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in praying for me, in praying for you. Verse 26 tells us the Spirit himself intercedes for us. The word himself in the original is emphatic. It means it's put at the beginning of the sentence. It wouldn't read well in English, but it's put there for a reason, to remind us that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is interceding for us. But there's more here as well. In verse 27, it begins, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. So, who is he who searches hearts? David, speaking to his son Solomon, tells us, 1 Chronicles 28, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord, Yahweh, searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. In fact, the psalmist prayed for God to do just that. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Who is this? God the Father. God the Father. So our verses this morning tell us that God the Spirit intercedes for us, and immediately God the Father knows it. And we know from other scripture, he responds to the Spirit immediately. James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. So in this intercessory prayer on our behalf, God the Spirit and God the Father are both involved in that prayer. But wait, there's more. Look down to verse 33. Verse 33, same chapter, Romans 8. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Someone else is interceding for us beside the Holy Spirit, besides God the Father. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is interceding for us. Now grasp that for just a moment. The entire Godhead, the entire Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, praying for you, praying for me, involved in the same prayer together. John Murray, who's written a lot of good stuff concerning the Son and the Spirit, had a wonderful quote about that for believers. This makes me smile. Christ is their intercessor in the court of heaven, while the Holy Spirit is their intercessor in the theater of their own hearts. I like that. That makes me smile. You know, I can't think of anything in my daily life more encouraging than this. This is incredibly encouraging that the God of the universe daily knows our weakness and intercedes on our behalf. When I'm hurting, too bad to pray, God prays for me. When I'm wallowing in sin and it's got me by the throat, God prays for me. When I'm so confused I don't know which way is up, God prays for me. When my way seems dark, God prays for me. When my world seemingly has come to an end, God prays for me. When I throw up my hands and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, God prays for me. In the middle of the night, knowing my weakness and what may come tomorrow, God prays for me. A favorite verse of many of you, one of my favorites as well, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And today we might add to that, and though you will not know it, I will pray for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, revel in this marvelous truth on the pages of the Scripture. God intercedes on your behalf. Let's pray. Father, this truth that's reiterated on the pages of Scripture almost seems too good to be true. We hear it, we read it, and say, would God indeed do that for me? The answer is absolutely yes. And so, Father, I begin by just praising you for this truth, praising you for what we have because of your salvation. We have the Spirit in us, not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, not because we thought it was some good idea. We have the Holy Spirit because by grace, the grace that you saved us with, you said, I'm going to give you a helper because I want you to be more like Jesus every day. And when you're not, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, what great news, wonderful news that can encourage us every day regardless of what we're going through. So take your truth today. Ram it home into our hearts. May we go from Pleasant Prairie Baptist Church this morning with a song on our heart because we've got a great and a wonderful, loving God. And Father, may all the praise for what you do through your word go to you. And may we indeed grow in our faith as you want us to do, according to your will, that we be more and more like Jesus. So may we reflect on these things, enjoy these things, live knowing they're true. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. In response, let's stand and sing a wonderful song called Open.